I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Mike, I think you can back me up on this. In my time researching offbeat news for this podcast, I have found that people love aliens.
But what's not to love? They're all like E.T., right? They'd never do us any harm.
Oh, yeah, never. So one town in the U.S. is also hoping that aliens love us, actually. Lexington, Kentucky started something they call the world's first interstellar tourism campaign. They're trying to attract extraterrestrials to the city, and even the Associated Press wrote about it.
You know, we've already started to bring tourism into space, so maybe aliens are just looking for somewhere on Earth to hang out.
Yeah, that's a good point. And UFO aficionados would probably tell you that they've already found that place to hang out in Roswell, New Mexico, a town steeped in extraterrestrial lore. And you've even visited the city, right?
I have driven through a number of times and, yeah, actually stopped and visited on a couple of occasions. I was there on the 50th anniversary of the landing, if you will, the encounter that many believe took place with some sort of UFO crash landing on a ranch north of town. And I visited the museum, talked to a lot of people there, people who'd come there from other parts of the country. There was a lot of weirdness in Roswell on that day.
Yeah, I would have loved to check that out because I love aliens, and maybe one day I'll be able to visit Roswell and visit the museum. And this week, you actually spoke to Dennis Balthazar of the Roswell UFO Museum to learn more about what it's like to be an alien tourist destination.
I did indeed. We're going to hear from him momentarily. And I also need to hear more from you about this love you have for aliens. And that's one of our producers, Lauren, and I'm Mike Rogers. This is Something Offbeat. Tell me about the museum. How long has it been open, and what sorts of things do you have there?
Well, it opened in 1991 in a small office up the street in the bank building. They had two newspapers. That was a museum. And then a few years later, they moved to a storefront across from the courthouse on 4th Street. In 1997, I helped move it into the current building, which was an old movie theater, and we've been there ever since. Now, they've upgraded a lot, maybe since you've been here. They got a lot of touch screens. They got a lot of new displays, and it's really become a class museum. We get about 200,000 people a year. This past November, we had our 5 millionth visitor, and most people in Roswell could care less about the event.
Why do you suppose that is?
Well, it's been so many years, they're kind of accustomed to people being here to go through the museum and stuff like that. But the museum gives $60 million a year to the economy of Roswell. So the people may not like the UFO event, but they do like the money we generate.
According to KRQE News in New Mexico, a UFO festival held in Roswell every year has got an economic impact of more than $2 million. That was just in 2022 alone.
More proof that space-related attractions can be economic boosters actually arrived this month when people across the U.S. traveled to the path of totality during the solar eclipse. Dallas was in that path, and economist Callum Clark joined the Texas Wants to Know podcast recently to discuss the economic impact of the eclipse in the city.
Within Dallas, we're a pretty big city, Chris. You know, we can absorb a lot of people coming to town between the hotels, the Airbnbs all over the region and so forth, people staying with friends. I think it'll be a moment in time where there's a big day or two for the restaurant business and hotel business, and then it'll come and then it'll go.
You know, Lauren, I think a lot of them may have been scared off by the clouds because as a resident of Dallas, I didn't think it was that bad at all. The tourists, that is. And by the way, just as a sidebar, maybe all those tourists should have stayed put. because the clouds parted at the last minute and the eclipse was spectacular. We had an amazing view.
Oh, I am jealous. It really, in Chicago, it was hardly anything. But so how did our guest, getting back to your interview, how did he get involved in UFO tourism?
I've been affiliated with the museum since 1991, off and on. And I go in on weekends and do mini lectures for the people while they're there. I tried to retire 3 years ago. I'm 82 years old. They wouldn't let me retire.
You know too much.
That may be true, because I knew some of the first-hand witnesses, which gives me an advantage over a lot of the guys that claim to be experts on Roswell.
And you've been in Roswell how many years now?
I moved up here in 1996 from Texas. I was with the highway department down there for 33 years doing building roads and highways, and then been interested in this stuff probably since the late 70s, early 80s.
Is that what brought you up there?
Well, I actually came up to continue my engineering work, and after about 6 months, I started volunteering at the museum, and I gave up a good-paying job for some reason and started volunteering at the museum.
So you said you moved there in 1996. That was a year before the 50th anniversary, and I was there for that. And that's when I was telling you earlier, I had a chance to go up and see the actual site down on that ranch land where it supposedly happened. And you're saying you knew a lot of the people who were around in 1947. Is that right?
That's right. I knew Walter Hart, who wrote the press release for the newspaper. And Glenn Dennis was a mortician back then. They were both founders of the museum. So I spent a lot of time with those two guys before they passed away.
For those who don't know, Walter Hott was the public information officer of the Roswell Army Airfield in New Mexico in July 1947. That's when aliens allegedly landed in New Mexico. He issued a press release on July 8th saying that a flying saucer had been found in the desert, per CBS News.
Yes, but the Army changed its tune the next day, saying that it was a weather balloon. Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. And that, of course, kicked off years of speculation about what actually happened there north of Roswell.
And while many people think that believing in aliens is a fringe thing, it's actually pretty common. In 2021, Gallup found that 4 in 10 Americans think some UFOs that people have spotted have been alien spacecraft visiting Earth from other planets or even other galaxies. That's up from one-third the previous year.
Now, in Lexington, Kentucky, where our headline story comes from this week, they even sought to capitalize on recent UFO revelations,
which we have actually covered in this podcast. Check out our other episodes, like with Avi Loeb, for more alien insight.
Exactly. And advances in deep space imaging that it said have fueled a belief that we humans are not alone in the universe. They gathered a group of scholars that used an infrared laser to beam a coded invitation towards potential extraterrestrial travelers in the TRAPPIST-1 solar system. That's 40 light years away.
So far, there hasn't been any unusual activity reported in the skies above Lexington.
In the meantime, though, Lexington might want to check in with Roswell as they prepare to be a UFO destination. Roswell's kind of turned this into a cottage industry over the years. I mean, if it weren't for this, you guys would just be another town in eastern New Mexico, another Clovis, another Hobbs.
Well, that all started with the military base being here back in the 40s, 50s, 60s. We had all of the big bomb groups were stationed here in Roswell at the Army Airfield back then, which turned into Walker Air Force Base when the Air Force took it over. And when they shut the base down in the 70s, that had a big effect on Roswell, on the economy, and it took years to redevelop it. And then it was decided to have a museum here, and that has become an annual tradition now, and people from all over the world are coming here.
Yeah, I talk about that for a minute. Why do they come? What do you think is the reason that people are so fascinated by this?
Well, I think most people that come here are curious. They've heard of Roswell, don't know a lot about it. And the job of the museum is not to convince anybody, but to present all the information that we have. We have interviewed over 600 people related to the Roswell incident. Unfortunately, they've all passed away now. So as a researcher, my hope is that there is still someone out there alive that will give us a deathbed confession, because we have about run out of witnesses, I think.
What is your favorite exhibit at the museum?
There's several of them. We have a display which has an actual, but a flying saucer, an alien standing around it, and that comes alive every 30 minutes. The saucer rotates, smoke comes out of it, and lights and stuff like that. And that's one of the most photographed things we have. In the back corner of the museum, we have a room that has a gurney and an alien on it. That is an actual movie prop from 1994, the Showtime movie. Paul Davids was the producer. He gave that to us after they aired the show. And the most recent new display we have is a four-screen live video about the atomic bombs. And, of course, the first atomic bomb was tested two hours from here at White Sands Trinity Site. So those are big displays that people are really interested in.
That last display Balthazar mentioned, it might sound familiar since it was mentioned in the film Oppenheimer, which just won a bunch of Oscars.
And since you mentioned movies, I have some trivia about how much we love space.
All right, this should be interesting.
Did you know that both the top grossing movie of all time, Avatar, and the most watched television broadcast of all time, the 1969 moon landing, are both connected to outer space?
Well, that's very true, but so is Battlefield Earth. Your point is well taken, though.
We'd love to hear about aliens.
The people who come to the museum, are they mostly believers? Are they?
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Non-believers kind of rolling their eyes, or maybe they just haven't made up their mind.
Surprisingly, there's not that many that roll their eyes. I think, going back to what I said earlier, I think most of them are curious. And they've heard of Roswell. They come here, they read and look at the stuff we have on display, and then they can make up their own decision on it. But I think, based on the lectures I do and the response I get, there's a tremendous amount of interest in ufology.
What do you think? What really happened out there back in 1947?
Well, it was a ranch foreman, Mac Brazel, a foreman on the ranch, 65 miles northwest of here. During a thunderstorm at night, he heard a sound louder than thunder, an explosion of some kind. Went out the next morning on horseback to check his sheep and look at his windmills for damage. Came upon a debris field, spread three-quarters of a mile long by several hundred yards wide. Now, the rancher had no idea what this stuff was. He had recovered weather balloons. They had a tag on them from the Air Force for a reward. So as a poor ranch foreman, he'd pick up the tag, take it down to the base, and get a couple extra dollars. But he didn't know what this was. So he loaded some material in his pickup, came to town. He didn't talk to the military. He went to the Travis County Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Wilcox. The sheriff didn't know what it was either. They contacted the military, got Major Marcel, the top intelligence officer with the atomic bomb group, to go out to the site. Now, most people don't realize that after the guys dropped the bombs on Japan, they were stationed in Roswell in 1947 when this happened. So their job was secrecy. And we got to interview a lot of the guys that were with the 509th Composite Bomb Wing. And that's where I put my confidence in these witnesses that we've had.
What do you wish people knew more about UFOs?
Well, I don't know that the people need to know more. Back in 47, panic would have been a real thing because we just came out of the Second World War and everything. Today, people are more educated, and they would accept it. Just tell us the truth.
Sounds to me like you're not going to let this go. You're going to keep this research up till the day you die, aren't you?
Well, I don't think I have any choice, Mike. I tried to retire. I did Roswell UFO tours here in town for 7 years, two a day, 5 days a week, until the pandemic hit, and then I had to quit. So I told the wife, I can't do the tours anymore, and I've done the research for 30 years. I'm 82 years old. That's it. I'm going to retire. Well, that didn't work. They called me out of retirement at the museum, and I enjoy doing what I do, and I think it's important that I get the opportunity to share my research with so many people. But to answer your question, I probably won't. I probably will stay with it until I die because I think it's that important. Not necessarily for me or you, but for young people. I think they deserve to know the truth, one way or the other. And if it's not aliens, that's fine. I'll go fishing. I don't need the frustration and the expense I've had for 30 years trying to find the truth.
And it seems like plenty of tourists believe the truth is out there, too. I'm Mike Rogers. Thanks so much for listening to Something Offbeat. This episode written and produced by Lauren Barry and Chris Blake. Audio editing by Bree Flores. Original music by Myron Kaplan and editorial support from Cooper Mall. Now, to keep listening, please subscribe to us on the Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story that you think we should cover, please send it to us at somethingoffbeat@Odyssey. That's AUDACY.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.